All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue. With its powerful V6 turbo engine, well, we had time to see all the animals.
Whoa!
And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
This is Cut to It with Steve Smith Sr., a production of The Black Effect and iHeartRadio. I'm Steve Smith Sr.
And I'm Gerard Littlejohn.
And this is Cut to It.
Cut to it. Cut to it. Let's get down to it. Cut to it.
We ask the questions you always want to know, but no one ever asks.
Let's cut to it.
I should know it's wrong.
If you ain't heard about it, then we're about to let you know.
Cause you know it's on.
It's on.
Cause you know it's on.
Hey, what's going on? How about these teams going to the Super Bowl? What do you think?
Man, I'm excited. This
Super Why are you excited?
Because it's Super Bowl time, man. Like, who doesn't get excited around this time of year?
People who thought they were going and found out very quickly that they can't even make it to the playoffs.
Hey, I ain't getting a check for that, so I'm just watching. So that's not my occupation.
That ain't your problem.
As someone who watches, I'm just excited about. Listen, I remember the times being in front of the TV watching Dallas, Pittsburgh, and Larry Brown gets a couple interceptions. He's the Super Bowl MVP. To watching the 49ers clap the Chargers. To
that
Packers Patriots Super Bowl with Brett Favre and Desmond Howard runs back a touchdown to seal up the win. So I just love this time of year. So take even you playing in the league away. Even as a kid, what memories do you have from Super Bowls, from a fan perspective? What are your memories?
Well, can you be quiet so I can get started?
Well, I had to set up.
I'm super excited for that, bro.
Yeah,
first of all, as a 49ers fan, I can remember and watching Jerry Rice, John Taylor, Roger Craig, Ricky Waters, Joe Montana, Dwight Clark, all these guys, Morton. Stiff neck Hanks, right?
No, it wasn't stiff. It was a crazy neck.
Yeah,
something
crazy
like that.
Neck.
Yeah.
You got Tim McDonald, who used to knock you out after Ronnie Lott used to knock you out as well. Right. So you got all these.
Rip his finger off. Spit it off.
man, J.J. Stokes. Uh-huh. Just T.O. catching it against the Green Bay Packers. Hunt Street Circle. That was a seam up the middle.
Yeah. Or when they clapped the Chargers that year.
Man, the Chargers didn't have a shot. Sorry.
Natron. Oh, man.
All of those things I remember. And then you got to remember Chris Collinsworth, you know, how he made his name with the Bengals. Mm-hmm. How Boomer Esiason and Joe Montana, that game, right? For me, man, right now the history-rich teams that are in the playoffs right now, it's nostalgia.
Oh, yeah.
It's nostalgia. All I need right now, man, is my mom make them some seven-layer dip. You got somebody bringing some of that Springfield or that Shasta, right? That tiki fruit punch.
Okay.
Right? You got to have somebody that's going to bring some good food, some good Q, right?
Q, what you mean by
barbecue?
Oh, barbecue. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. What's your barbecue? Because you know I'm from North Carolina, so barbecue is defined a couple different ways.
Yeah, we're not talking about the sauce. We're just talking about we're talking about hot links.
Okay,
hot links for grown-ups, hot dogs for the kids. Right.
Right.
Okay. You got a chicken.
Uh huh.
You got some. You got some pork eaters, and then you got some beef ribs.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You got the hamburgers, like that's right there with that Lipton.
Yeah,
mix for the hamburgers.
Oh, that's old school. Yeah. You got to put the onion there.
Oh, yeah. Pat that thing. Yeah. Right? Right? And then you got the ruffle. You got the Lay's ruffles with the ranch and sour cream mix for the dip. Don't double dip neither. Oh, yeah. Right?
That's about your speed, but go ahead.
Yeah. That's not. That's pretty touche. So that just brings back the nostalgia of somebody has a big screen TV. Whoever has a big screen TV, his or her house is the house.
That's the house we're going over. Everybody brings and contributes.
And we watch football. We play cards, play dominoes, and the kids go outside and play.
And now you set up all that nostalgia. And coming back to this Super Bowl, now you got this halftime show. You got Dre. Yeah. You got Snoop, you got Eminem, Kendrick Lamar, Mary J. Blige. Like, whoa, this Super Bowl got everything.
It's lit.
Yeah.
It's lit.
Yeah.
And I get to be home.
Which is a rarity for you, right?
Well, I get to be home in Cali, watch the game, watch guys, a halftime show that.
Man, you couldn't script that any better. Man, it's like a homecoming.
It's a homecoming.
Yeah.
The NFL, because of the Shield, or we, the NFL of the Shield, gets the advantage of good football. But we didn't know the football was going to be this great.
Oh.
It was. Yeah. Let me tell you.
It's a playoffs to remember. It's a playoffs to remember.
It was exciting. Yeah. Nail-biting. You had to respect. I mean, I texted some people that were on all the teams. Bro, you balled. Mm-hmm. You know, I texted some folks with Buffalo. I said, listen. That's a bad mamma jamma, right?
Yes, big time.
And they got some good pieces. And these last four teams.
The future looks bright for from the Josh Allens to the Patrick Mahomes. I mean, we looking at just, it's crazy seeing.
I mean, it's exciting.
We in for a treat.
So listen, we got today on the podcast, born and raised from D-Town, from Michigan, Allen Robinson, currently, wide receiver, route runner extraordinaire. He may have a PhD. He got to take a few more classes in route running.
Which ones he need? He need like 1,000 level courses? What he at?
Nah, he passed.
101 and 102.
He passed 101 and 102 on getting off the press.
Okay.
He doesn't stack as well after he gets past them a little bit. That's a little bit. I know Keenan Allen. I know.
So not quite grad level.
No, he's right there.
Okay.
He just got to take a summer school course and he'd be straight.
There it is.
Love who you are. Love what you represent, man. And want to thank you for coming on the Cut to a Podcast.
I appreciate you guys having me, man. Like, no doubt. Like, for real. It's a pleasure.
Appreciate having you, bro.
We appreciate having you. Listen, we got this section. That's my favorite. Get iced up. So it's a little icebreakers. What's your favorite route to run?
Slant. Slant or nine. That's tough because
that's why you don't have routes, right?
That's why you don't have a PhD right there. That is the laziest two routes you can run. You fast. Uh-huh. So I'm going to run a go route. Uh-huh. And you're fast because you beat them on the go route, so you're going to give them that outside. Yeah. You're going to give them that outside route and then go inside. Huh?
Look, man, them things married
that's
up.
That's a yes or no.
But that is a yes or no.
I don't want to hear why. Yes or no?
Yes.
Lazy. That's what matter with kids.
They like peanut butter and jelly, man.
Go ahead.
They like peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah. Well, I'm light-skinned. I like steak, sucker.
What?
If you could spend a weekend in any city, which would you choose? And you can't choose Chicago.
Is this international or domestic?
This your life. I don't know.
I'm going to say Nassau, Bahamas, man. That's my spot.
Really?
Why?
Best place that I've been to vacation, man. I feel like when I go out there, any and everything you need is there, man. Mm. You got the sun. You got the beach. Mm. You got the food. Everything you need. Mm.
I like that. You was over there lighting people on fire up on ESPN, so I'm just trying to get you to calm down. Hakuna Matata.
Yeah.
What you got, G? What you got?
Well, on that, let's do, since you're from Detroit, Big Sean, T Grizzly, 42, rank them in order.
That's tough. Yeah. I gotta go Big Sean, yep. T Grizzly, and then 4-2.
Okay.
That, and it is, it's 4-2 dub too, by the way.
Oh my, see, I'm washed. So
4-2 dub. Yeah. But I gotta go in that order, man. I feel like Big Sean, a Big Sean, he's been doing it the longest, man. He got the
he doesn't get a lot of credit.
Man, listen, he's put out solid albums too. Like his last album, whoo, flames.
Yeah.
But yeah, he doesn't get a lot of credit.
No, he doesn't.
He a true rapper. You feel me? Like I feel like a lot of true rappers nowadays, sometimes they don't get as much credit. You know, people want the club box and the stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? But if you want some music you can just ride to and listen to, you know,
it's Big slowly, Sean, you can do all it's slowly coming back. Like I feel like lyricism now is starting to turn that corner. People are tired of the repeat. Yes. Yeah. The mumble rap, it's cool, but it's starting. It really is. If you start to look at what's starting to get hot again, who's starting to come around, like lyricism is making its way back.
And you're born in Detroit, right? Detroit, Michigan. You're living in Chicago. You lived in Jacksonville. Man, you talked about the places you've traveled. Why is traveling something? I know for me it is. Why is traveling something for athletes that seems to be almost essential now? You know, I don't want to put words in your mouth. I almost said a word that you probably would use, but I want to see if you will use it. Why is traveling so important for you currently as a man, as an individual, as a football player? You know, entrepreneur, all above, all the categories of things, who you are, what you want to be. Why is that traveling essential? You like that question, don't you?
I do.
Appreciate it. First, pat myself on the back.
Growing up in Detroit, you know, well, for me at least, I didn't get to travel a crazy amount, you know, unless it was like a 7-on-7 or like an AAU tournament or something like that, you know. So being able to travel and see, you know, places and kind of get to the roots of where, you know, like Jamaica, you know, like being in Jamaica or being in the Bahamas, you know, being around those kind of people and those and that culture, you know.
So what kind of people are you referring to? Like you said, you make that statement and we're in a place now, we're a polarizing place where when you make that statement, people automatically assume you're talking about people of color. Right. Or I don't know the purpose of why you said it, but I want you to clarify it because there's so many assumptions in the world today. So I just triggered it like, man, let's just talk about the reason why.
Yeah. People who look like me and you, people who were raised very similar to me and you, you know, people who have the ethnic backgrounds in this, you have a connection with those islands, with those people, you know, because that's the natural roots of where I come from, you know, and being able to embrace those people and feeling how those people embrace me and, you know, and my family and whoever else when we go to those places, go to those islands, that's what makes those places so special to vacation to, because you truly are allowed to vacation. You know, it's not any problems. It's not any nothing. When you go there, you can just kind of chill, relax, kind of let your guard down a little bit and enjoy it.
That's an interesting word. You said let your guard down. I've been in Jamaica. off the resorts, my guard ain't down.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm off, but
off the Blue Mountains?
Hey, there's a few times I went off the resort. I've been like, I'm going back on the resort.
What you need to play out?
I feel you, but I still think it's a level of, you know, connection to those places where, again, I mean, like you said before, I mean, now you got to be smart wherever you at, you know, as far as having your guard up or down, you know, that's based on, you know, everybody judgment. But just from a standpoint of, you know, being there and feeling that connection, you know.
Because it's different. It's different than when you just reading a history book, right? But to be there and live it and experience it and be around the culture, multiple cultures, it's always fulfilling. And it's always, for me, it's always more of a, not even an educational thing, man, but just being to have that connectedness.
For sure, because it's something that, you know, growing up, you see all these different islands. You may hear about these different islands. You know, you see commercials about these different islands. You know, so whenever you can get a chance to go or to these places, you know, another place that I want to go to in my future is is Africa. You know, yeah.
Being which able to which travel. Part? Which part? Because there's a ton of places.
I know. I don't even know where to start. You know, that's just a place that I have, you know, circled on my, you know, calendar at some point in time to be able to go to an experience, you know, an experience, not just the vacation side of it, you know, but everything else that's in it, you know, from the safari, from, you know, everywhere.
Yeah. Mount Kilimanjaro down to Nigeria. That in Nigeria, there's some areas. It ain't vacation, brother. We had a guy, CJ Sapong, on, and he talked about going back to his roots. Mm-hmm. And he talked about going back to the coast of where his family, his mother was the second of seven wives. His great grandfather was the tribal leader, and his great grandmother was the fifth out of the seven wives. And he actually was part of royalty, right? And how he had land and ownership. And his cousin took him to the castles in which the Spaniards were utilizing, capturing, raping, imprisoning his people. And he was able to smell the stench and smell the odors. And he gave us, in the pandemic, man, it was a great episode. He gave us the essence of his history, and it was unbelievable. So, you know, we already said it, but I love to say it. And where you from and the place you call your hometown?
Detroit, Michigan, man. It's something that I take pride in joining, because I feel like it's molded me in many different ways, you know, preparing me for certain situations and certain circumstances that I've, you know, come to in my life. You know, I think of all the time, for me, you know, being able to have my dad around and in my life, my entire life, you know, I tell people all the time, it was like a movie of like Training Day, some of the experiences that like being around him, you know, and just being in a car with him and him telling me stories as we're, you know what I'm saying? Like just riding around and being able to experience and see Detroit and seeing, you know, how to be able to have, you know, help my family to, you know, live a better life and just a lot of different things, man. So it's like when you go to Detroit, you know, it's a place where, you know, you gotta bring, you mm-hmm. know, all the time, 24/7.
It's amazing. You know, sometimes here in Charlotte and with my travels, I see it a lot. Charlotte is an outstanding community. A lot of transplants, a lot of people from different areas of the world. And uniqueness of it, when I'm heading to training camps to go see, you know, you guys go perform and get ready for training camp, I see a lot of folks here in Charlotte going on mission trips to some folks are checking a box, the giving box. Some folks are checking a box because they have survivor's guilt. And then there's people who are checking the box because they feel like these third world countries really need our help. But I would imagine, just like growing up in Los Angeles, like I did, you growing up in Detroit, G growing up in Lexington and here living in Charlotte, man, there's some places here in Charlotte, LA and Detroit. You don't have to go to a third world country. You can go to your own city, go in the city and volunteer and serve. Right. And so impact. So
and no doubt, and just based on you bringing that up, you know, I'm glad that's something that you brought up, because, you know, like you said, a lot of people, you know, may want to go to a third world country, you know, but you got cities like Flint, Michigan, you know, who have been in a water crisis, you know, for
10 years, forever, 10 years,
you know, and when you see different things like that, not to do all the time, you know, when they say that, you know, about third world countries, I'm like, man, there's so many different areas of kids who may not have their parents or kids who parents may be incarcerated, or, you know, even to single moms who are having to work three and four jobs, you know, to try to put, you know, food on the table.
The basics. Like, you know,
the basics, you know, and when you, like you said before, Los Angeles, Detroit, Chicago, Jacksonville, Charlotte, you can name city after city after city in America that needs everybody's help. You know, that's, you know, it may not be a third world country, but it's some third world cities and some third world neighborhoods. Yeah.
And people drive and right past it
to the airport.
Yeah, on their way going there.
Yeah, yeah. So if you could describe one word yourself as a kid, what would it be?
Grit.
Why grit?
I feel like, especially when you, like Detroit, like a lot of other cities, you know, the ambitions and the dreams and stuff that you may have as a kid, a lot of people don't see it as realistic or they don't embrace it. You know, so when you are going through these different experiences, you may have, for me, it was my dad and it was a couple coaches, you know, who kind of always helped me along the way. You know, even if it's, you know, having some steps back, you know, switching schools or whatever the case may be, you know, it's being able to adapt, being able to embrace, you know, change and different things that's going on around me.
Every time I talk to someone who's from Detroit, everybody is super prideful about Detroit. Where does that pride come from, Alan? Like, what makes Detroiters so proud of their city?
For me, it's everybody who's not just made something of themselves, but everybody that's come from the area. Like, thinking about my granddad, you know, who worked, in the factory.
Your granddaddy, whether he's living or has passed on, grandpa got a name. Don't shortchange grandpa now.
No doubt, my granddad Mitchell Robinson. One person I could, you know, specifically think about, you know, who and my mom's dad, Ted Goldsmith, him as well. You know, these are people who you see take pride in working in a factory, you know, or having to do these certain jobs or doing certain things. I remember my granddad, you know, from him working in the factory, his hand got caught like in one of the machines on the belt, and it cut off two of his fingers. You know, and being able to see, and it's like, you know, again, like that, you know, never happened for him. You know, he
kept on
never
going.
Brought it up, never mentioned it. You wouldn't even know, you know. So things like that, and not just to the people who also, you know, from an athletic standpoint, from a hip hop standpoint, when you hear those guys and how much pride they take in Detroit and that stuff is going on, you know, it make you real proud to be from there. Mm. You know, I feel like a lot of guys who come from there, you know, embrace each other. You know, because again, I mean, coming out of any city like that and just being around that is, you know, you a part of your culture.
I love Cut to It, and I love it even more when you download us and subscribe.
And you can follow us on social media too, Smitty.
Where at?
That's at Cut to It on Instagram.
What about Twitter?
At Cut to It.
Facebook?
Cut to It featuring Steve Smith Sr.
What about online?
And you can follow us at cuttoitpodcast.com where you can buy merch and you can subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts.
I got all my answers I got all my questions answered.
That's what I'm here for, brother. cuttoitpodcast.com.
All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue. With its powerful V6 turbo engine, well, we had time to see all the animals.
Whoa! And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
How do we level the playing field for all entrepreneurs? 55% of white businesses survive the startup phase, while only 4% of black businesses do the same. So I want every black entrepreneur to know about the 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative. The 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative is an award-winning program created by Shopify and Operation Hope. They're on a mission to start, grow, and scale 1 million black businesses by 2030, driving wealth creation for the black community. Out of 6 million employer-owned businesses in the U.S., only 2.3% have black ownership. This program gives black entrepreneurs tools and resources to level the playing field, from free business coaching to tailored training and extended free Shopify trial. Shopify's made a 10-year, multi-million dollar commitment to the program, and it's working. The initiative already started, supported, and engaged with over 334,000 black businesses, helping them operate businesses that sell anything from skateboards to coffee beans to apparel. Business owners love this program. Simone Harvin, founder of SC Creative Group, says, "The 1 million black businesses experience for me was unlike any other program I've been a part of, primarily because it was for us and it was by us. Here at Drink Champs, we are always interacting with our listeners, many being black entrepreneurs, Shopify is one of those platforms that empowers and emboldens entrepreneurship. So chart your own path for business success with the 1 million Black Businesses Initiative and Shopify. Bring your business to Shopify with an exclusive offer at shopify.com/BEN, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/BEN.
Who is Allen Robinson as far as what you're working on and building and doing all this stuff? You know, whether it's family, whether it's friends, whether it's daddy, whether it's, you know, with your girl, just overall, because that's the important part. Because if you can play 16, 20 or 40 years, at some point you will no longer be a football player. You'll just be Mr. Robinson. And what does that mean to you?
And, you know, locked in for me from a family standpoint is, you know, again, making sure that I'm not only spending time with my daughter and with my family, but that goes to the whole full circle for me of being locked in is, you know, I have my football time where, you know, I'm going to do my PT and rehab and stuff to get my body back healthy and right from this season. You know, I'm doing my physical training while I'm improving on the certain things that I want to continue to get better at, certain routes.
On the field.
On the field.
But how are you improving your mind and your heart?
Improving my mind and my heart by, again, being around my family, being around my friends, you know, and not only just seeing, you know, this year or being affected by this year, but also embracing, you know, everything that I have right now, you know, and being able to embrace that with my loved ones, being able to, you know, like I said, go on a vacation and spend that family time to, you know, get the mind right, you know, before you go into a heavier part of football, so to speak. So just being able to embrace, you know, the people who are around me who have not only supported me and showed me so much love, you know, especially throughout this course of this year, man, like shout out to my family and my friends and, you know, everybody who's been close to me this year, because again, I mean, when you go through adverse times and frustrated times, you know, those are people that you have to lean on, because those are the people who truly care about you and your well-being with or without the game of football.
And what do you do outside of family? Because you mentioned it, you've dealt with a lot of adversity on the field, injuries, you know, all this stuff that's going on over the course of the last couple of seasons. What do you do for Allen for your own mental health?
My own personal mental health. One, I'm a gamer, so that always kind
of
relaxes.
What kind of games? What are you talking about? Car games or video games?
On the PS5.
Video. Video. Call of Duty.
Okay, 2K. So help me out on Call of Duty, because I got the what is it, Vanguard?
I'm just talking. I don't
okay, know. So the new one. It's not like the old one where you can like do it, where you play online and you can do like the different operations. Like maybe I haven't downloaded it right, but like I don't like the
fully download.
I don't like the Fortnite version like that.
Oh yeah. No, you like the multiplayer version.
Yeah, my old ass hands just can't. I ain't got the finger fast twitch. I just got the fast twitch on the playing ball. So can you play the operations, like operations where you with other people and you fight in the bots, and you can, like in the old one, you can play in the stadium and all that stuff? Do they still have that?
Yeah. You gotta go to I think that's co-op and multiplayer.
Co-op multiplayer? That means I gotta spend more money.
Yeah, that's basically
that's
it.
Another like $79. Yeah. Man, I'm retired, brother.
you on fixed income?
Yeah, I am.
I am
on a fixed income. That's what I played all these years for. Now I'm on a high fixed income, but I'm still on a fixed income. Yeah. Man, so, I got my checking and savings, they don't work.
Yeah, I got a checking, I got a savings. It takes 3 business days. So.
Hey, when I get a check and they talking about they're going to be holding it.
Yeah.
Man, COVID told me up. I'm like, hey, bro, all I can do is mobile.
Yeah.
I need to take off this 21-day hold.
Yeah,
so that's why I'm off on a tangent. I'm sorry.
Yeah, so we got sidetracked on video games. What else do you do from a mental health standpoint, though? How else you take care of you?
I'm a movie and show person.
Movie. All right. Whoa.
Now you get a sidetrack. What show you watch?
What movies and shows you like? Let's start with movies, though. What's a good movie?
So, movies? Good movies?
Yeah, don't tell me no.
Comedy, anything?
Whatever you watch.
Yeah, whatever you want.
If we go on, I say one of my favorite, and I used to watch this before a game, but they took it off Netflix. I used to watch Paid in Full before every game.
Isn't that a comedy?
No, it's not a comedy. I'm just talking movies in general.
How many keys you got movies in that bag? In
that's one of my favorite movies. But we can go on and on.
Well, haven't went on because
you ain't seen Paid in Full?
I don't know. Is that considered like, what's your top five movies? Like, you have, is not with your girl or not with your parents or with grandpa. Like, you just, you dolo, right? You say, you know what? I'm gonna watch a movie. What movie you gonna watch?
I like all the Batmans.
Okay.
From Batman Begin, Dark Knight Rises.
Okay.
I forget the one that's called with Bane.
That's Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah.
Have you watched Game of Thrones?
I cannot watch Game of Thrones. Here's why. When it first came out, before it became this phenomenon, it used to just be on HBO. Game of Thrones, when it first started on HBO, like the first two episodes was literally like porn.
It didn't stop. It never really stopped.
Like, because think about it. I got four kids, man. I'm watching Game of Thrones 9 o'clock at night, and I'm watching the living room, and they walk by. Or the wife walked by. That's a hell of an explanation on what's going on.
Oh, nothing, baby.
What are you? You been fiddling. Right. Like,
speaking of shows, too, it's a new show. Well, new season. You watch Ozark?
I like the first season. The second season, the old lady and the young kid.
They just getting started now. The third season, it's already
off the rails.
Oh yes, I'm only like. Four episodes.
I'm not gonna lie to you. When that happened, I was like,
I'm not even talking about that. I'm just talking about the old lady, what she's doing.
What's your favorite couple movies? What's your favorite couple movies and shows?
So for me, like, I like movies. I like movies that make me think. What was it? Inception.
Yeah, I like
Inception. Leonardo DiCaprio. That's dope.
Yeah.
Right?
That movie is complicated.
Very. That's me.
I had to read.
Friend, would you say that's not me?
I mean, it's you, but at the same time, I had to read about that movie afterwards. Yeah. And I still didn't get it.
Look, the one with Denzel's, my son told me, and we watched it, the one with Denzel's son. Yeah, and they can like go backwards.
Oh, you're talking about
Tenet.
Yes. I saw that movie when they opened it up with the backpack. I was like, that's a key. My son, he was like, Dad, how are you getting this? Like, that's my mind. Like, I
gave up on that movie after 5 minutes.
Oh, man. See, movies like that.
I got to rewatch that one.
Movies like that. See, I read informational books. Like, I get information, read the book. I'm not fantasizing. I watch. I let my imagination run wild by watching a movie. So I can watch a fighting movie, like 300. Love it. Mm-hmm. Right? Anybody that getting punched in the face, I'm your guy. I'm gonna watch it.
What? You like that?
Oh my gosh. Shooting in the face, punch in the face. Oh man. Right?
I'm not a huge Marvel guy.
You're disrespectful now.
Yeah.
It was nice having you out, Alan.
I'm sorry.
Peace out, bro.
I didn't hear you. I grew up superheroes, man. Wonder Twins, Iceman. Spider-Man, Firestar.
You see the new Spider-Man?
My son keeps telling me.
It's
I got some travels coming. I can sit on the airplane. I got a 5-hour flight coming up, so I want to sit on the airplane and watch it.
Yeah, that was dope.
I tell you another good movie I liked, The Honest Thief.
I don't think I've even seen that.
Yeah, I like shows. Right.
I was gonna ask. So, what you mentioned shows outside of Ozark? What you watching?
Yeah,
Ozark, Snowfall.
Ooh, yeah, that's coming back this month, right? Or next month?
Yeah, BMF. I messed with that.
That was good.
Shout out to Detroit. What else? Snowfall, Ozark, BMF. That's a Game of Thrones. I started watching the show Vikings. That was pretty good too.
Vikings, I like that. It's a show I like watching. It's stupid though, but How to Catch a Smuggler.
No, I never seen that.
Man, How to Catch a
Smuggler on National Geographic.
Man, they be going through the airport, and boy, you talking about people getting caught up. Man, they open up their bag.
Oh, I actually have seen that. People be having stuff like in the soles of their shoes.
Yeah, okay. Amongst other places.
How you got, you didn't take the inside of your luggage. You done got like 10 pounds of that smack. Going to jail. They be crying. They had a black lady talking about she was, she was talking about she was hurt, injured.
Yeah.
She was sitting on like a pound of that sidewalk chalk.
That snow in the summer.
That snow in the summer. But so I like watching shows. I also like Life Below Zero. I'm really into that. Right, seeing how those folks are maneuvering 20 degrees below. Man, negative 20 degrees, man. Just seeing that stuff, man. And as I got older, I really start to, my wife has gotten me more on that. Is just when you come down to it, it's like, are we self-sufficient? Right? I'm a city boy. I don't even know how to fish, dog.
Mm. Yeah, me neither.
I've never.
Oh, man, we gotta get y'all out to High Rock Lake out here in North Carolina then.
Yeah, I don't know how to fish. I've never been fishing. And
me neither.
And I just know my wife was asking me the other day. She said, do you know basic survival? I'm like, no. If the power grid for Agent A Knife, that Steve Smith, did the power grid go off? Are you on my house? Man, we screwed.
That's like you said, that's the city.
Electricity? Huh? You ain't about to mine for the electricity?
Man, my car's electric, right? So, I mean, I got some stuff like that when things go out, like automatically some stuff to support and come in, natural gas, generator and all that stuff. But really, I mean, I've become so dependent on making sure that I have a backup to a backup, that if the source that helps the backup goes out.
Yeah.
I mean, if I'm in Chicago, I mean, I could tell you probably by looking at it, because I used to have a house, man, on the water too. You probably on the second floor. So I know I can scale yours because the water's real close. I'm in your house because you look like you could survive.
And I thought of another. I'll tell you another show I like is Hard Knocks, and they just had this new season where you can see during the season, and then you have training
with the Colts.
Yeah, yeah.
They need to have
NFL players. Do y'all watch Hard Knocks? Like Alan, do you ever?
I don't. I ain't gonna lie to you.
I don't. But I know they need to have a Hard Knocks after the season when they talk.
You got training camp. You got middle season, and now you need to have postseason.
I want to see what they said to Carson on the exit. Hey, Gerard, where did you get that t-shirt?
You mean this thing?
Oh, yes.
I got it from cuttoitpodcast.com, where we have exclusive merchandise. Shout out to our guys at 704 Shop. But yeah, you can go on, buy you a t-shirt, subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue with its powerful V6 turbo engine. Well, we had time to see all the animals. Whoa! And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Man, tell us some of the things that that you enjoy doing with your daughter, and why is that important for you?
I mean, what I like doing, anything she like doing.
Oh, look at
that's when that's when she's happiest. And, you know, her being happy makes me happy. Mm. So that's painting. She'll be back at the house in a little bit. And I told her we'll go get her ice cream. So we'll be going on an ice cream run.
What kind of ice cream you get?
Me, I like pralines. It was it pralines.
Yuck mouth.
Pralines pecan.
That's like my granddaddy.
Yeah,
old. You don't like pralines?
No,
come on, man. Pralines. Pecan,
that's old people ice cream.
Yuck mouth. That's ninja right there.
I like
sugar-free ice cream, butter pecan. That's what they like.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like Superman too. And then you basic like chocolate, and then you doctor it up a little bit.
Doctor it up with what? Yeah. Some nuts.
Pause. Moving right along.
But on some real stuff though,
tell us about your Within Reach Foundation. Why did you start it? What do you do? What do you focus on?
Tell us the why.
Yes, my Within Reach Foundation. We focus on inner city and obviously poverty areas. Throughout the pandemic, though, one thing that we did focus on was food as well, which I think was huge and was different for us. But, you know, with us focusing on food, it was a lot of kids and a lot of families who had relied on free lunch. And now with kids not going to school, there were a lot of families now having to feed 4 and 5, you know, kids that they weren't scheduled to wow. feed. That's, you know, you got kids getting sometimes breakfast, lunch, and meals after school. Yeah. You know, so that was something that we really, you know, tapped into that I feel like was a, you know, it was a blessing. You know, we were able to bring a lot of families across the Chicago area food and also, you know, other goods and supplies, you know. So I think that this year, throughout the course of the pandemic, we kind of changed direction a little bit because normally we kind of focus on reading and the educational part of it. But once COVID hit, you know, we really focused on more so of, you know, the lifestyle part of just people who are in need of, whether it's food, other goods, and just the basic, you know, necessities, you know. But what made me start it was, you know, for me, man, being very blessed and being able to, you know, be in a situation that I'm in, you know, being able to give back to as many people as I can. Like I said before, me and Steve kind of touched on it early on, is that you don't have to go to another country and things like that to find people who are in need of just the basic essentials of life, you know, food, fresh water and things like that, you know. So me being able to really tap into that, you know, and having a city, you know, for me being in Chicago, you know, the city of Chicago really embraced that and the community there embraced that. We were able to help out a lot of people, you know, and I was very thankful for that, for having the partners that I had, you know, for having the community rally behind us, you know, our my teammates and everybody.
Growing up in Detroit and going to Penn State and receiving the education you have received and seeing how the pandemic has impacted our future, our youth today, with your foundation and the programs you guys are committing in a partnership, how do you believe it will impact the next Allen Robinson with the lack of resources, the lack of food, the lack of support without your foundation and many other foundations that are filling in the gap of what this pandemic has exposed in us right now with reliance on government assistance, but also not having a plan in case, like the pandemic has done, when it stretched the government to the point of where they can't keep account of all the people that are just trying to figure it out, because every day something new is happening in the pandemic, like we all have experienced around the country.
And that's a great question. You know, I think for some of those cities, some of those areas, you know, I mean, hopeful, you know, well, that we have enough people to kind of, you know, mustered up enough to be able to help out, you know, in a lot of these communities and a lot of these areas, because it's a lot of communities, man, that are truly, truly leaning on people and needing people to help them out. Like I said before, from just your basic everyday stuff, you know? So, and that's what I think that's what makes it very tough, is that, you know, there are groups of people who are severely in need. You know, when I say severely in need, I mean, you know, when it comes to clothes and food, and this aren't just people who are like living on the street. These are, you know, moms and kids and, you know, 3-year-old kids, 4-year-old kids, you know, babies needing formula, you know, everything that you can name, you know. So hopefully, you know, we can continue to try to, you know, build a community of people to continue to to help one another, you know, because as we saw in the pandemic, you know, it's a lot of people that's in need.
So, Alan, man, where do you see yourself in the next 10 years?
Well, I like when you ask that question, Jay.
Next 10 years. I would say next.
Hold on. Before, how old are you going to be in 10 years?
You're pushing 30 now.
I'll be 38 in 10 years.
Damn. So when you're pushing 40, where you want to be?
That'd be me. I'll be 53.
Ooh, you about to have an AARP card.
Really?
Just messing up. No shit.
Is that more discounts?
Yeah, definitely. Oh. 50 cent coffee.
Now, I got the espresso at the house. Because I don't want to keep paying for coffee. It costs too much.
I feel your day.
Coffee is expensive. I'm a coffee drinker myself. But in the next 10 years, so would I be 38?
I think when you 38 and I be 53, I can still run better routes. What you think?
I don't know, man. I don't know. What's your favorite route? You didn't even answer that.
He didn't answer that, did he?
What's my favorite? You didn't ask me.
That's true too. 1-1.
Favorite route? Tell me what you think my favorite route is.
A dagger.
Man, that's like me running a dagger is like you running a slant. That easy work, homeboy. A comeback.
I was going to say it. I don't think we've ever talked about it either. I was going to say comeback. I was sitting there thinking about it.
I love a comeback.
You sell that 9, stop on a dime.
Yeah, but also I can run a comeback. I used to be able to run a comeback. I ain't run a comeback in a long time. Uh-huh. I had some kids the other day. I was helping train my old trainer, and I was helping them with some stuff, and we were talking about it. But I was just helping them with the basics. Mm-hmm. And a comeback at, you know, keeping their integrity, you know, not being a little drummer boy with the doing that breakdown, having the right angle, coming back towards the sideline, not opening up the gate, not rolling.
Round it out.
Yeah, put your foot in the ground, come back. Man, I would be able to burst a comeback, stem a comeback, and then also go in motion and run a comeback. So I can run a comeback like 3-4 different ways. So that's why I like a comeback, because you fear the speed, but also I felt on a comeback, man, I would burst a comeback. So I line up 2 yards outside the numbers, burst that thing in, take it straight up, and then come back. You ain't supposed to be doing that, right? But then that would give you the look of a dagger.
Yeah.
So that's why. So I like comeback. Also, too, I used to watch Jerry run comebacks. Ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And so I was just like, man, anybody can run a go. I used to always challenge the corner.
You don't need necessarily the speed. That's route running.
That's yeah. So that's I used to always tell the corner, anybody could jam. My son can jam, but can you cover?
Yeah.
Right?
Preacher.
Yeah. So, that's football. Football is what I love about football is that element. The element of surprise, the gamesmanship, but also, you know, we get lumped in sometimes, and I think especially early on, they call people dumb jocks. You have to have a pretty good well-roundedness and have a little bit of you, most athletes are sensitive, ultra competitive, but also they're thinkers, man. And I think sometimes, you know, people talk about athletes are, you know, dumb jocks. Man, to play at a professional level, you got to have some kind of sense to you, right? You may
processing
not.
Processing all that information?
Yes. Now, you may not process it at a, you know, gigabyte level, but you have to be able to have some kind of processing system that's efficient. And I don't think people really understand at each sport, there's a different skill that you must have, and not everybody has that skill, and not every athlete. And I think the ones who have it the best are the ones, not necessarily that you see, but their career is more than 6 or 7 years. It's 8+, 9+, 10+. As you get older, playing 10 years as a wide receiver, a tight end, like Mercedes Lewis, out in with the Green Bay Packers, I don't care what you say about him.
Balling for a long time.
Long time. what he has to do to be able to play, because he's not like a wide receiver where he could pick and choose to go across the middle. He lined up sometimes next outside of a DN, a Khalil Mack, who Khalil ain't going, well, that's Mercedes, so let me take it off on him a little bit. So sometimes Khalil going, man, that old head, I'm about to whoop him up.
Yeah.
Right? And so just all the offseason requirement to just play a young man's game. You know, a lot of people don't give these older players benefit of the doubt, right? They want to devalue the older players, and they want to make the young players with a little bit of success great. And that just boggles my mind. That boggles my mind to hear a young player.
Why do you think that is?
Because of our generation of likes and of likes and. Our generation wants they want the championship parade without playing in the regular season, right? They get participation trophies for participating. They are told that everyone is the same, and it's not the case. Our prison system, whether we like it or not, there are some people in there that didn't do what they said they were done. They were framed as coming out. Guys are serving 20, 30, 50 years of doing things that were truly what they did not do. But our prison system, our prison system shows that not everybody is a winner. There's some real losers in the world that do some things that are unfathomable. They do some things that they should be locked away for the rest of their life. And that behavior is a loser's behavior. But our society now says that everybody's a winner. Everybody should have what everybody else has, right? I don't really like the socialism game, because there are some people, right, that I remember growing up as a kid. You remember growing up as a kid? We were poor. Well, nobody walking around throwing us money. Hell, they actually didn't allow us to enter some of those stores because they knew we didn't have money and we couldn't afford it. Now we want everybody to be even. Oh, God tells us not everybody's even, and we have to. And sometimes the reason we were able to be rose up is by adversity. You learn more by failure than you know with success. I mean, you guys win a football game. You win a game that you probably shouldn't have, and they give you Wednesday off. By giving you Wednesday off, what does that mean? You no longer do film evaluation at the nth degree that you would do if you lose. You may have highlights on Wednesday just to go over it. You glance over it, but you don't really put it under the microscope the same way in the you don't put it under the microscope with the win the same way you do with a loss. And so that's I think that's why it's, you know, winning is glorified, but then we want to glance over why we lost. We don't want to talk about why or who's inefficient. We just want to say, yeah, that was a tough loss. Man, we'll get them next time. Well, we can't get them next time if the left tackle can't block. We can't get them next time if the quarterback can't read defenses. We can't get them next time if the offense coordinator can't offense coordinate. So that's why. Maybe I'm sorry I'm on the soapbox, but I just, you know, it's tough, man.
Yeah.
And it's becoming difficult to look people in the eye and tell them, not necessarily devalue them or put them down, but just say, man, that wasn't good enough, and here's why. But when you do that now, you're picking on people. You're bullying them. And it's tough. So it's almost like, you know, you're better off not saying anything, and which shortchanges that individual. And then that individual that shortchanged as a kid becomes a shortchanged adult. So I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Question for you. Will you leave an inheritance financially? I'm guessing, you know, you probably want more than one child, hopefully. If not, that's cool. Will you leave an inheritance for your kids? Will you leave inheritances for your kids?
Absolutely.
Like cash.
Absolutely.
All right. I've
amongst other things, but yeah.
But yeah, because I've heard some people and they say, man, like I'm going to be like Bill Gates if I ever make that kind of money, I'm not going to leave my kids anything. Well, first of all, he's not leaving them anything because he's worth so many million. They've inherited some. But I'm talking about why would you, because as athletes, especially as people who are raised in the bottom or who struggle, oodles and noodles, we generally work our way through and we become so performance-based that oozes and comes out at it when we are married or in relationships. We start to be based on performance, whether it's friends, whether it's teammates, and then mostly, unfortunately, and I know I did, it's for our kids and my wife. So if I become so performance-based and I make them feel less than, well, when I die and I don't leave them anything, you know what ultimately I'm doing? I'm saying, screw you.
Yeah.
I'm screwing you from the grave. I'm saying you weren't good enough when you was with little Alan. You weren't good enough. You didn't do it right then. Now you're 20 and I pass away. Now you're 40. And all of a sudden now, I'm telling you from the grave, you wasn't good enough. We don't even realize, man, some of the subliminal messages that we say, especially as men, black men, men who are raised in poverty, how we have conditioned ourselves to be so performance-based that we can be shortchanging our kids by our actions, by some hidden aura out there to say, nah, we're going to make them work. We're going to make them work hard.
Yeah.
You worked so they wouldn't work as hard.
That's the whole, I mean, that's a whole different conversation that we don't want them to have Alan sign for another hour when you start talking about breaking.
We don't want them to have dirt under their fingernails we have.
You start
going into
breaking generational curses and you start going into generational wealth. Yeah. That's a whole different thing we can get into.
I was just on a trip and so that was one of the conversations. One of the guys said, man, I'm not giving them. I said, why?
That shit's stupid. I'm just going to say
That I don't, because it's like, you know, like I said before, at least for me personally, I didn't do everything that I've done and I didn't take on everything that I've taken on. I don't do all the things that I do just for my daughter and my future kids and their kids to just have to go through the same exact things that, you know, it doesn't make any sense. No, at least to me, it doesn't. No, you know, it's like I'm doing all this.
And if you really want to go there, that's if someone's going to thump the Bible on one thing, that's unbiblical as well. If you don't leave an inheritance for them. So whether that's cash or whatever.
Well, they're leaning on, they gave them inheritance of knowledge.
Man, you ever tried to pay a mortgage with knowledge?
Yeah. You know what they do? You know what they do? Right. Foreclose.
Right? I can't. Man, I got knowledge. I sure would like to get a loan.
Hey, yeah. You know, pay your car bill with pay your car note with some knowledge. You know what they'll do?
I get the theory. They'll repo. I think the application is a little bit like, I don't agree with that.
So. Man, that dude with that tow truck comes so quick.
Yeah.
You'd be on Discovery repo.
Right.
Man, so, hey, man, it's been an awesome conversation, brother. How much time you gave us.
No doubt.
Man, love, Gunna. Man, love connecting with you. Man, I look forward to see where you go. You may end up staying in Chicago. You may not. But, man, look forward to it.
I appreciate it, man. I really do.
Yeah.
I appreciate y'all having me.
You are a unique person. You are well worth it. You are competent. And most of all, you're lovable. I'm Steve Smith Sr.
I'm Gerard Littlejohn.
And this is Cut to It. Cut to It with Steve Smith Sr., that is me, is a production of Cut to It LLC, Balto Creative Media, The Black Effect, and iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
From Cut to It, executive producer Steve Smith Sr., co-host Gerard Littlejohn, talent and booking manager Joe Fushi, social media team, Wesley Robinson and John Cho. From Balto Creative Media, Cut to It is produced by Brian Baltashevich and Meredith Carter, with production assistance by Alex Labreck, production coordinator Taylor Robinson. Theme music by Alex Johnson, lyrics and vocals by Anthony Hamilton.
If you ain't heard about it, then we're about to let you know. It's on.
If you're looking for the most epic place on Earth, let's start at the base of a massive waterfall. Then trek through the thick jungle. Then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there, keep going. Because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.